welcome one and all, and our visitors, you're more than welcome here with us today. My name's Larry Smith, and I'm the associate minister here at Broadway for the past 20-some years. Our regular minister, Alan and Mikey, were away for a well-deserved time away for a moment just to spend some time together and do some things together. So I will deliver the message today. And what I'd like to do is thank you all for being here. And hopefully by being here and hearing our message today and the warm reception I know we will give you, that you will feel so much more enlightened as you leave and enjoy your time here in Galveston, those that are not from Galveston. One of the things I wanted to do is touch on something that is part of all of us. And the idea is to let the beauty of Jesus be seen in each and every one of us. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me as an individual, in you as an individual, and in all of us as a group. The beauty of Jesus is what we'll cover today in my lesson. The proposition here is that let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me by my pure life, by your pure life. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you through your pure life. Living sacrifice, charitable deeds, all of which are attributes from Christ himself, all of which become an integral part of who we are as Christians. And to our visitors that are here today, thank you very much for being here, and I promise to not go long. But what we'll do is try to deliver a message that you can take from here, something to apply to your life once you leave here, so that you yourself will grow closer to the Lord himself. The objective or lesson that I will do today, that each would resolve to be beautiful on the inside and not worry so much about beauty on the outside or possessions. Possessions and beauty on the outside cause so many difficulties for so many people. The aim for the message today is to emphasize how beauty in God's sight is radically different from man's standard of beauty. But today I want to share a funeral sermon, not for someone who's died, but for us who are alive. Seems odd, doesn't it? A funeral sermon for us who are alive. I want us to long for home and encourage us to live this life with confidence that heaven is what we will see. Heaven is our goal. The moment after this life has come to an end, heaven being our goal. Heaven is where our destination. Heaven is where we want to be for all eternity. And we have the proposition to get there. We have what we need to get there, to make that journey complete. Following the scripture, understanding the church, doing what you can for others, continuously doing those things that will make you a more representative person of Jesus Christ. When I'm called upon to speak at a funeral, the aspect I desire to talk most about is a person's spiritual life. Not to what they accumulated during their lives here on earth, but their spiritual lives. Can you hear me? You can't hear? Oh. Let me see, do we have a sound person? Because we have someone that can't hear. Maybe that'll help. Good. Let's see what happens. Can you hear me better? No better. Can you hear me now? All right, it just means move your mouth closer to the mic. Okay. Basic component of delivering a message is move closer to the mic. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that because I could have gone the whole lesson and nobody heard me. The new body is what I wanted to discuss, a new body. The Bible does not describe in any great detail what a spiritual body would look like. It can't, because we can only see the physical. Yet Paul speaks in such confidence when he says, we have a building from God. We have a building from God, an integral house in heaven, not built by human hands, eternal in the heavens. He goes on to say that as Christians, we long to put our heavenly dwelling, to reside at our heavenly dwelling. Our goal is to get to heaven. Our goal is to get to heaven. And in preparation for getting to heaven, it's how we comport ourselves here that will determine our destination. So all of us are in charge of our own fate and all eternity for ourselves. Oh, I'm sorry. I neglected to note, to recognize the group of visitors that are here. Please forgive me, folks, but you're more than welcome, and thank you here for being here. Paul is not morbid in his teaching. Paul is not looking forward to dying in his teaching. He's simply stating that this body that we now have pales in comparison to the one we will be given, the one we can expect, the one in expectation, the body of all eternity. This one that we have now pales in comparison. Paul wants us to know that God has something greater in store for his children than the pains found in the human body. As Christians, we have something to look forward to. Unlike the rest of the world, as Christians, we have something to look forward to, a heavenly existence with God Almighty. We long for and desire to be with God, for we know that being with the Lord is better than fighting the sin and so easily entangles us. Being at peace with each other, at peace with God. Think in terms of being at peace and how resolute you can be in terms of your daily lives and the different encounters that you have in the world. Being at peace. See, as a peaceful person ourselves, it becomes contagious and it causes other people to be peaceful in most instances. Our new body, our heavenly dwelling, will swallow up all the mortal one. And in it, we'll have true life. Listen to verse 5, I'll share it with you. God has prepared for us this new clothing, this new home. He has prepared for us a new home. A new clothing. To prove it, he has placed in the Holy Spirit in Christians as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. The Holy Spirit that's implanted in all of us guarantees what is to come. We have a little bit of that spiritual body already with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have a little bit, but there is more to come. Being a Christian is always something that we can use in our lives to better our conditions. Being a Christian, knowing we always have a place to go when we're confused. We have a place to go in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirit, when we feel that we're lacking in what we need to succeed in doing those things that are necessary to be a contributor to the rest of the world. We have a little bit of that spiritual body already indwelling. Longing for home. Longing for home. That is why Paul would say, what I read in the beginning in verse 6 and 7, that there is truth that in this human form, we lack some of the depths of relationship we love with God and we have with God. Paul simply states, we live by faith and not by sight. We live by faith and not by sight. Now, if we could inculcate that axiom more than anything else we do in our spiritual life, then what it causes us to do is to make decisions that are scripturally sound, causes us to be more amenable to other people and to be conduits for Christ, conduits to bring others to the church, conduits to do those things that are necessary to cause others to want to be part of Jesus Christ's church. There's truth that this human form, we lack some of the depth of relationships we have with God. Paul simply states, we live by faith, not by sight. We live by faith, not by sight. We see the integral part that faith has in our existence, the integral part that faith plays in terms of our belief systems, in terms of how we interact with others. and in terms of us becoming conduits for others to become Christians themselves. Let me rephrase that to make sure we understand what Paul is teaching here. Are you ready to go home now? Are you ready to go home now? If you can honestly say, no, I'm not ready to go home, then what that tells us and portends for us is there's more work to be done, is to live more faithfully, to do those things that are necessary to prepare us to be an affirmative, yes, I'm ready to go home now. In order to do that, we must be at one with the Lord himself. Have you given your life to Jesus, who gave his life for you? First step in moving toward life eternal, in moving toward eternal life, is give yourselves to Christ. There's nothing better than to have your sins washed away and the gift of God's Holy Spirit given to you as your guarantee that you're going home. You will be at peace eternally because of Jesus Christ. But I have to tell you, I long for my heavenly home. But I know there's work to be done here by all of us to bring others to Christ, to bring others to the notion that there's a better place and a better time, and we can be better people. I long for a place where sin will no longer tempt me, where pain, sorrow, and grief, death no longer exists. I long for such a time and a place. I long to see into the Holy of Holies, the throne of God, worship the one I adore, to worship the one I adore. I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to go home, I think. But there's work to be done, so you can't leave yet. If you think you're ready to go home, you still have work to do, a lot of work to do. Look around us at the world. It becomes incumbent upon us as Christians, as believers, to roll up our sleeves and get busy doing whatever we can to bring others to Christ. In conclusion here, and let me conclude, I think I hear rain. Where will you be the moment after your body dies? Is a question for all of us. Where will you be the moment after your body dies? That is the only real question that matters. At your funeral, someone will stand before a group of people and share thoughts about your life and speak about what a good person you were, maybe, or that you really were a very outstanding person. I have a church family who has walked beside me in my bad days, celebrated with me in my good days at this location for over 20 years. Alan and I have been here for 20 years. And the group that's here, the group that have passed on, that was part of Broadway Church of Christ many years ago, still remain in contact. I see some of you still here with me too. So we're gonna ride this thing all the way out together. But all of that is only a glimpse of the joy that will come when I open my eyes that moment after this body ends and sees Jesus face to face. With all the joy, all the pleasure, all this want that you could want as being a body, a person of this body, Broadway Church of Christ. Meeting the Lord himself is even more dynamic. Home is where family gathers and celebrates the fact that we're family. And what I'd like to do as we try to get out of here before it rains too much on you guys, is just share a thought with you. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. And what we want to do is to constantly stay in communications with the Lord, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. Stay in contact with the Lord. And as you deal with situations throughout the world, and situations at families, and situations at work, always think to yourself, you're never alone when you're a Christian. You're never alone. God is there with you. So think to yourself, how can I best resolve this issue in a Christian way that will cause God to be proud of me? And use that as the barometer. How will I resolve this situation and have God proud of me? If you can't say that you can do that, that God would be proud of you, then let me just offer one suggestion. Don't do it. Only if it would make God proud. So as we close our lesson for today, we want to find out from, if there is anyone standing here in the need of prayer, anyone standing in the need of baptism, now's the time. We got to get out of here. Let's get to service.
God is calling the prodigal come without